CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit recently in Washington, welcoming leaders of Africa nations, sub-Saharan dominantly, and greeted by the President and Vice President of the United States, including festivities at the White House. What is the policy of the Biden administration to the African troubles? All troubles now come to the Ukraine war, but also to the larger story of food, commodities, power, and the future. And under the conditions that we now witness in Africa, in South America, in the global South, I welcome Cliff May, the founder and president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, writing of this summit recently at the Washington Times. Cliff, a very good evening to you, and in a new year with the challenge of Africa. What is the Biden administration's policy? Can we identify it? And was it advanced or spoken of or debated at this summit? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. I don't think we can identify a policy. I think the summit was an important attempt to make believe there was a policy. It didn't get much coverage in the press. It got some from the think tanks. Most people, when they talked about it, talked about the traffic jams nearby because they closed streets and had barriers and all that sort of thing. Mostly what you saw at the conference and the various festivities, as you say, surrounding them, including a dinner for 50 African leaders, quote unquote, at the White House, was you heard a lot of platitudes, a lot of happy talk, a lot of virtue signaling. America's original sin, slavery, and that was from Biden, and promises of largesse, $55 billion over the next 3 years, assuming Congress goes along with that. Some of that was or actually pledged long before this conference. So it was meant to look like something real was happening. I think my argument is that you could excuse the happy talk, virtue signaling, and platitudes if you also at some point got around to the serious issues, the serious illnesses that plague Africa. But I would say that those serious ills were assiduously avoided. And I talk about what I think some of them are and how they should be addressed. And if not, and maybe even debated, because I think in a lot of cases, it's not that we all agree or even know what to do about these ills, but you need to discuss it rather than make believe, of course, we have solutions, we know what we're doing, and everything's fine.
The Global South. And energy. Let's get right to it, because the war in Europe and the global north is about energy and also about territory and about peace in a people that speak the same language. But energy is a driver for the EU and NATO right now. Is there enough for this winter and several winters on? That is also a story in Africa. What is the state of affairs about African power? You've reported from there.
Yes, it's very bad situation, and it's being made worse by the policies of the U.S., the U.N., and Europe. What I mean is that if there's one, what does Africa need to prosper or to develop more than it has? Well, I mean, I would argue more free markets and less socialism, but I don't expect this administration to praise, much less promote capitalism in any way. But the other thing is very simple. It's abundant and affordable energy. That's absolutely necessary. And to make very clear, if you're an African farmer and all you have are your hands and your kids and maybe a couple of beasts of burden, there's not much you can produce. You're a subsistence farmer. If you want to get to the next level of prosperity, well, then you're going to probably need a tractor. That tractor is not going to be a plug-in hybrid. It is not going to be an electric vehicle. And with the tractor, if you have excess crops, well, that means you have some income beyond the most basic, but you got to get your crops to market. You got to do it before they rot. So you probably need a truck, and that truck is also not going to be an electric vehicle. It's got to run on gasoline. So when the West, and particularly President Biden, is pledging to end fossil fuels, when there is a war on fossil fuels, and you're telling these people in Africa, you must give up fossil fuels, what are they supposed to substitute for it? And I don't know if people understand, there are roughly 600 million people, 600 million, more than twice the population, about twice the population of the U.S. in sub-Saharan Africa, who do not have electricity. You are poor without electricity. You cannot refrigerate foods. You cannot freeze foods. You cannot read comfortably at nighttime. You cannot cool off with a fan, much less an air conditioner. How are you going to produce that? Oh, people say, with renewables, with sun, lots of sun and lots of wind. No, that's not going to happen in this generation or the next generation, at the very least, in Africa. So what you need are hydrocarbons, fossil fuels. You know, a very interesting thing strikes me. The Germans paid the South Africans, I forget how many hundreds of millions of dollars, to stop using coal. Because coal, and coal is polluting, never mind the carbon dioxide emissions, which is a different subject. But then because the gas and oil was cut off from Putin, the Germans have now bought coal from South Africa, which they will burn. You think burning coal in Germany is less polluting than burning coal in South Africa? I think scientists can settle that question pretty comfortably.
The question about China is always in the news. China's investments, the debt trap. We see this in Asia. It's certainly a dominant story if you look into the natural resources of Africa. Is that part of the Biden administration's concern?
I think it may be part of their concern, but it was not a subject they were willing to broach in any depth at this so-called summit meeting. Don't forget, a lot of the African leaders don't want to, because a lot of these African leaders, in many cases, they were talking rulers more than leaders, benefit from that. Because when the Chinese go in, and I think what they're doing is a form of imperialism, it's resource exploitation, they can make big loans, and they can say to an African leader, if we make this loan, this will benefit you in the following ways. And who's going to investigate that? Who's going to report on that? Nobody. So, yes, these loans can sometimes turn into debt traps. Or you take what's going on in the Democratic Republic of Congo. It's one of the places in the world that has the most cobalt. And the mines there are being worked by thousands of children under what are reportedly inhumane conditions. And the way the mining is going is creating ecological damage. The cobalt all goes to China, which they use for batteries that are put into electric vehicles. This is a bad thing to become dependent on China. This is a bad thing that's happening. This is not green in any good sense. And yet President Biden is not just urging, but subsidizing the purchase of electric vehicles. You want to buy a Tesla? You want to buy an electric vehicle? It's convenient for you. God bless you. Do it. Do not think you are saving the planet by doing so.
And our final minute, Cliff, migration. Was that a story for the White House's summit? The migration that we see in the Mediterranean, we see it in the English Channel, we see it in America, but migration north from conditions that are, as you say, subsistence to a better economy.
I didn't see it discussed at all. A lot of the sessions were closed, but there were communiques. So in one of those communiques, it said that President Biden and Vice President Harris and members of the cabinet engaged extensively with African leaders on topics ranging from trade and investment to health and climate change to peace, security, and governance to space cooperation. Ah, well, that's good that they talked about space cooperation, because maybe there'll be settlements on the moon and Mars coming up soon.
In other words, they avoided all the topics that are unsolved.
That's my thesis. They avoided the important topics and stuck to happy talk and making believe that everybody was on board for this historic just transition to new forms of energy based on shared priorities, which were assumed, again, rather than discussed or debated.
Cliff, are you disappointed or not surprised?
I'm both. I'm not surprised, but yes, I'm disappointed. If you're going to go to the trouble and whatever expense of having a summit for 50 African leaders, maybe think about the real issues, discuss them, debate them. And maybe come out with something more than press releases that make it look like everything is fine and dandy. This is smoke and mirrors. I don't know, or maybe it's, you know, Breton or circuses. I'm not sure of the right analogy.
Cliff May, founder and president of Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.